Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd fa a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Nurallah. Before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, though whoever recites Salat upon me 100 times in the night and the day of Friday, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill 100 of his needs, 70 of the hereafter and 30 of the world. And Allah Azza wa Jal will appoint an angel who will then send that Salat to my grave as gifts are presented to you. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So viewers of Madhi Channel, as we hear here, please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In this particular virtue of reciting Durood-e Pak, we are told that on the Friday night and on the Friday day. Viewers of Madhi Channel, Sayyidina Abdul Wahhab bin Atta Khafaf Ramutullahi ta'ala has said, when in the reign of the Khilafat of Banu Umayyah, Sayyidina Abu Abdul Rahman Farooq Ramutullahi ta'ala, he went to Khursan to guard the boundaries. His wife was expecting at the time, and he left 30,000 dinars with his wife. When he returned to Madinah Munawwarah after 27 years, he reached his home and he pushed his door inside with a spear. Sayyidina Rabi, Ramutullahi Ta'ala, came out. As he saw an armed man, he furiously said, O bondman of Allah Azza wa Jal, do you want to attack my home? Sayyidina Farooq, Ramutullahi Ta'ala, said and replied, no, I don't want to attack. You tell me, how dare you enter my home? Then they both started having an argument. When they were both about to fight each other, other neighbors intervened and they did not fight. When Sayyidina Malik bin Anas, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, and other people knew about it, they immediately came. Upon the interruption of Sayyidina Malik bin Anas, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, Abu Abdul Rahman Farooq said to him, my name is Farooq and it is my home. His wife was listening to all the conversation behind the door. And when he said that was his name, she recognized him. And she said, he is my husband and Rabi is his son. Rabi was in my womb when he went in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And having heard this, the father and the son, they hugged each other and became tearful out of joy. Sometime later, after having a meal, the husband then said to his wife, that I left you 30,000 dinars. I left you 30,000 dinars before I went. Where are the 30,000 dinars? And she said that I buried them somewhere and I will take them out after a couple of days. So he said, okay, fair enough. Meanwhile, the son, Sayyidina Rabi, Ramatullahi, he went to conduct a halqa of dars in the masjid and started giving dars of hadith. When Sayyidina Farooq, Ramatullahi, went to the masjid to offer salah, he saw a halqa was arranged and people were gaining Islamic knowledge. And he saw that people were giving dars, and he saw that this beautiful person was giving the dars, and he couldn't see him because they were that distance, there were that many people there. And he asked someone, who is it this person that's imparting Islamic knowledge? And people said to him, he is Rabi, son of Abu Abdul Rahman. Allahu Akbar. Having heard this, he became very happy and he said to him, so what a great status that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed my son with this knowledge. He then went back to his home and he said to his wife, today, I've seen your son's great status. He is the ocean of Islamic knowledge. His wife said to him, do you want your 30,000 dinars or this greatness and loftiness of your son? He replied, I swear to Allah Azza wa Jal, I don't want anything in return for this great blessing of my son. His wife said, then listen to me. I spent all the dinars on your son to provide him with Islamic knowledge. And having heard this, he said, by Allah Azza wa Jal, you did not waste my money, but rather spent it in a very proper way. Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhi Channel, from this we can see that Islamic knowledge is a great blessing. And surely it's also a great privilege to spend money for bringing it. And when the mother of Sayyidina Rabi spent a large amount of money on his education and on bringing, and when the father came home, instead of being unhappy that 30,000 dinars is a lot of money, even today, 30,000 dinars was a lot of money then, rather than being upset that where is that money, you've spent all that money, you've wasted all that money, he was so happy that this money had been spent on his son, and his son had acquired the knowledge of the deen. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Allah Azza wa Jalla has testified that there is none worthy of worship but Him, and so did the angels and those of knowledge while maintaining justice. Allahu Akbar. The father of Allah, Hazrat Mufti Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, said, three virtues of knowledge are proved by this blessed ayat. Firstly, Allah Azza wa Jalla has made the mention of Islamic scholars with himself and angels, subhanAllah. Secondly, he has also made Islamic scholars the witness of his oneness like angels, and he's declared their testimony to be the evidence of him being the one who is worthy to be worshipped. And thirdly, the testimony of them, those Islamic scholars, has also been considered to be authentic like the testimony of angels. Allahu Akbar. Similarly, in another ayat of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Allah will raise the excellent believers amongst you and those who are given knowledge to high ranks. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said, the status of Islamic scholars will be elevated 700 times more than the status of ordinary believers, and there is a distance of 500 years between every level. This is the status of a scholar. This is the status of someone that's acquired the knowledge of the deen. And so the excellence of Islamic knowledge, my viewers of Mother Channel, is clearly understood from this particular ayah. And there are plenty of virtues with regards to acquiring the knowledge of the deen. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person who leaves his home to gain Islamic knowledge is in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal until he returns. Subhanallah. The one who learns one or two or three or four or five kalimat, i.e. words, about the five acts of Allah Azza wa Jal, and memorizes them properly, and then teaches them to people, he will enter paradise. This is a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if you learn something, some of the fries, and you pass it on to others, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, you will enter paradise. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, Allah Azza wa Jal will resurrect bondmen on the day of judgment. He then will separate Islamic scholars and he will say to them, all the group of Islamic scholars, I know you, that's why I bestowed Islamic knowledge upon you. And I did not give you knowledge for making you suffer torment. Go, I have forgiven you. Subhanallah. These people that acquire the knowledge of the deen, they will be forgiven. Alama Mulana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said, knowledge is not something whose excellence and virtues need to be mentioned. The whole world knows that knowledge is something much better, and gaining it is a sign of eminence. It is a thing through which human life becomes successful and pleasant. It is a thing that makes the world and the hereafter better. This knowledge means the knowledge that is gained from the Holy Quran and the Hadith. It is the knowledge that makes the world and the hereafter both better. It is the knowledge that brings about salvation, and it is the same knowledge that has been praised in the Holy Quran and blessed Hadith, and our attention has been focused on its education. This is what Islamic education is. This is what the knowledge of the deen is. And this knowledge of the deen is the inheritance of the prophets. You know, no prophets ever left any behind, houses or bungalows or land or bank balances or gold or silver. What did they leave behind? They left behind knowledge. There was an incident that happened once where after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put a curtain between this world and the next, some people came out to the masjid and said to the people that the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being distributed in the masjid. And some people ran into the masjid wondering what was being distributed. And they came out and they grabbed that person and said to him, you said that the inheritance was being distributed. And he said to them, tell me, what did you see in the masjid? And they said, well, we saw people sitting in the corner. They had a study circle and they were imparting the deen and they were talking about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talking about his seerat and talking about the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the person said, this is the inheritance of the prophets. This is the inheritance of the prophets. If you want to acquire the inheritance of the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, then you need to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And this is the status of the knowledge of the deen if only we were to try and acquire it. But unfortunately, what happens nowadays is that we don't give knowledge the status, Islamic knowledge, the status that it is due. For us, there's worldly education and there's Islamic education. And unfortunately, in our mind, worldly education is more beneficial. And so what happens is we get our children, we look at our children, and if someone convinces us, and this is even few and far between as well, if someone convinces us that we should at least spend, take one of our children and make them an alim of deen, make them a scholar, then we look at our children and think, which one is the least intellect? Okay? Which one has got the least ability? The least ability, what we'll do is we'll send him to the jami, we'll send him to the darul ulum. The rest, we want them doctors, lawyers, barristers, IT specialists. We want these out of them. Rather than sending them children that we should be sent there to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And this is again is where we are lacking in our understanding of the importance. That knowledge that your son acquires that makes him a doctor, lawyer, barrister, whatever you want to call it, that might benefit you. How? It will benefit you financially, maybe, if you are lucky. If that child is brought up to learn and understand the knowledge and the responsibilities that he has over his parents, if he doesn't understand that knowledge, the Islamic responsibility that he has, then whatever education you give him, you'll get nothing from it. Because how does he know what his responsibility is to his father? How does he know what his responsibility is to his mother? He doesn't know this. He thinks, my money, my life, my rules, I do what I want. And he'll earn that money, spend that money, and you'll have no benefit from it. Okay, yes, you might say, well, you'll have a benefit that, okay, you'll have the peace of mind that your son is financially secure. Okay, but how do you benefit from it? And how, let's say, for example, you also acquire so much wealth. And that wealth that you have got, you've got £1 million, yeah? And you leave that £1 million to your children. Tell me, how will that £1 million benefit you in that dark and lonely grave? They'll spend that money. That money will be gone. Why? Because they've not had to earn it, they've not had to value it, they've not had to understand it. They don't understand the value of that money, and so they just waste it. But if that same child, you put the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart, you teach him the deen, and you leave him very little, but you leave him this, and this is more than anything that you could leave him. You leave him that love of the Sunnah, you leave him the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you leave him the love of the Ahlul Bayt, you leave him the love of the Quran, you leave him the love of Salah, the love of fasting. Viewers of Madinah Channel, when you're in that dark and lonely grave, that knowledge that you give to your children will benefit you. That money won't. That wealth will. And just to understand the importance of knowledge, Khalif Harun Rashid was a very pious person. And he was a person who knew the value and he respected knowledge. And he was a Khalifa at the time, he was a king at the time, but he understood the value of knowledge. And once he humbly requested, there was a scholar, Imam Qasi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he requested that he come and give the education of his son. So he said, I will not come and teach you. I will not come and teach you at your place. So the king, rather than getting angry with him, that I'm the Khalifa at the time, I'm the one that issues all the orders, no, listen to me, you must come. He said, okay. He said, I'll send him to your home. I'll send him to your home, but can you take my child to one side? And can you teach him on his own and give him special time so that he can be taught separately so he can acquire more knowledge of the deen? This is the thirst that he had, that he knew how important the knowledge of the deen was. And the scholar said, no, it is not possible. It'd rather be the one who will come first will be taught first. So whoever comes first, I'll teach them. First come, first serve. In short, his son, Mamun Rashid, started studying. One day by chance, the Khalifa Harun Rashid passed by. Whilst passing by, he saw that Imam Khasi Ramatullah Ta'ala was washing his feet and his son Mamun Rashid was pouring the water. The king furiously dismounted from his horse. He furiously got off from his horse, and the people that were around him, the other coaches that were around him, thinking that, you know, we saw Harun Rashid being very calm when this scholar said to him that, no, your son must come to me. We saw Harun Rashid being very calm when the scholar said, no, I will not teach him separately. But today, his son is washing the feet and he's holding the lota. Today, Harun Rashid will get angry with him. Today, he will take retribution for this. Today, we will see a difference in him. But what happened? Khalifa Harun Rashid, when he got off the horse and he was furious. And they could see the anger and they were waiting for the outburst. But what did he do? He got hold of his whip and he whipped. But who did he whip? He didn't whip the scholar. He whipped his son. He whipped his son and he said, "Oh disrespectful one, why did Allah Azza wa Jal bless you with two hands? Pour water with one hand and wash his feet with the other hand." Allahu Akbar. This is the status of our scholars, that we should be washing their feet. Khalifa Harun Rashid, his own son, he was angry with his son that his son was pouring the lota. He was pouring the water tablet there, and rather than washing his hand, he was just pouring it, and the scholar himself was washing his feet. And Khalifa Harun Rashid got very angry about this. Why? Because the status of the scholars, and he said to his son, that Allah's bless you with two hands. Use them two hands, pour with one hand and wash with the other. Allahu Akbar. So Khalifa Harun Rashid not only had great reverence for Islamic scholars, but he was also preferred their opinion. He would listen to their opinions when it came to even worldly matters or to matters whatever they were doing. He took counsel from them. Because these people, if you take advice from somebody that does not have the Islamic ruling behind it, he may give you the wrong advice. For example, if we're sat and we're thinking, we'll start this business. And your friend says, yeah, fantastic business. I know people that make loads and loads of money with that. But you've not consulted a scholar. You've not taken advice from a scholar. You've not found out whether that advice in itself, that business in itself, whether it's halal. So instead of putting all your effort, you could put all your effort into establishing that business, but at the same time, you're putting all your effort into establishing a whole burden of sins for yourself. Whereas if you consult with the scholars, if you consult with the ulama-i-kiram, consult with the muftis and ask them, this is what I want to do. Please advise me. Is it right? Is it wrong? Then at least you got peace of mind that I'm going down this path and I've got the backing of the scholars. I've got the backing of the ulama-i-kiram, and inshallah, I won't lose out. It is stated in Malafuzat al-Hazrat that when an Islamic scholar would come to the court of Harun Rashid, the king would stand up out of his reverence. One of the courtiers humbly asked, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, the dignity of your kingship is reduced when you stand up." And he said, "The dignity of kingship is reduced to revering Islamic scholars, so it is worthy to be reduced." He said, if my kingship is reduced by the fact that I stand up for scholars, let it be reduced. Let it be reduced if that is the status of it. I do not believe that this is the case. Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala, made an extremely nice arrangement for the education and upbringing of his children. He appointed a great muhaddis, Sayyidina Salih bin Kasan, as a teacher of his children, who'd also been his teacher. So people, they used to look for teachers. Nowadays, what happens is, when our children come up to the GCSEs or A-levels, we look for a good English teacher. We go look for a good math teacher. We go look for a good science teacher. We look for these teachers that they can enable our children to pass their exams, and we search for them teachers. How often do we search for the good Islamic teachers? How often do we search for that good qadi that can teach our children? Or do we just like send our children to the masjid and think, yeah, babysitting for a couple of hours, tea gap, my problem solved? Or do we even care about the knowledge that they have been acquiring? Do we go to the madrasas and find out that how is my son doing? How is my daughter doing? What benefits have we? Is she achieving anything? Is he achieving anything? Do we even acquire about it? Or is it just a babysitting session where we send them there, get rid of them for a couple of hours, and wait for when the son comes home and says, "Dad, I finished the Quran. Okay, we can have a party now." You know, what is the importance of that knowledge? It is narrated that the respected father of Hajjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala, though he was not educated himself, but he knew the significance of Islamic knowledge. And that's why he wished for both of his sons, Muhammad Ghazali and Ahmad Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala, to gain the knowledge of Sharia and Tariqah. And for this purpose, he saved some wealth, which greatly helped both his sons to gain Islamic knowledge. Likewise, Ghawse Pak, Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, he reached Baghdad in his childhood for acquiring the knowledge of the deen. If you remember the famous story that he took the mother's inheritance, the 40 gold dinars that his mother gave him, and his mother sent him to Baghdad, and she said to her, "His son, my son, and you know, we will meet on the Day of Judgment." She sacrificed her son. She gave him his inheritance and went, why? To acquire the knowledge of the deen. And what is also amazing, maybe you've heard the story many, many times, that on the way, the robbers, and then when he got to Baghdad Sharif, he ran out of money, and when he was there running out of money for a certain period of time, he lived on leaves, he lived on spring water, and lived on all this hardship he undertook. The question was, why did he undertake that hardship? If nowadays you send your children to the university, yeah, and they run out of money, what do they do? "Dad, send me some money. Okay, I've run out of money, Dad." Now, if Dad says, "No, I'm not giving you any money," will that son persevere? Will he get part-time jobs and persevere there and stay there? Or will he think, you know what, forget this. I'll come home, I'm getting warm food at home, my clothes are getting washed, I've got nothing to worry about. Majority of the cases, they will come back home. But Ghawsay Park didn't. Why? Because he knew the importance of knowledge. He knew that this knowledge is a cure for sick souls. He knew that this is what wakes up those people that are unmindful. This is the thing that people need. And so he struggled and he strived and he persevered. Was he not a human being like me and you? Did he not like the comforts of this world? Was he not happy at home having his food made by his mother, sleeping at home rather than struggling and striving? But why did he struggle and strive? Because the importance of the knowledge of the deen. Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala also started gaining Islamic knowledge since his childhood. It is said that he completed his Nazara of the Holy Quran at a very young age of 4 years and 6 months. And then just at the age of 13 years, 10 months and 4 days, he completed gaining knowledge of all the subjects generally studied in his era from his respected father, Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan, and has received the degree of completion for his education. Viewers of Mother Channel, these are just a few examples of those people that have understood the importance of acquiring the knowledge of the deen. And it is important for us that we give our children the good upbringing, but also we need to provide them Islamic knowledge to our children. And it is necessary that we acquire that knowledge that we can pass on to them so that they know that knowledge. It is our responsibility, it is your responsibility. It is not Imam Sahib's responsibility. It is your responsibility to give the upbringing of your children. It is your responsibility, yes, to find a good teacher if you cannot teach them. But ultimately, it is your responsibility to ensure that your children have the right education. On the Day of Judgment, you can't say, oh, I'll pass them on to him. No. Did you check? Did you make sure? Were you happy? Are you happy with the progress of the child? Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Surah At-Tahrim, ayat number 6. O believers, save yourselves and your families from the fire, the fuel of which are men and stones. Appointed over it are the extremely powerful angels who do not refuse the command of Allah Azza wa Jal and do as they are commanded. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us, save yourselves and your families from that fire whose fuel is men and stones. Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Nimadim Warabadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated in Kanzul Ifan regarding the above mentioned ayah, by obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and His Blessed Rasul, carrying out acts of worship, refraining from sins, guiding your family members towards righteousness, and preventing them from evils, and providing them with an Islamic education, and teaching them manners, the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of you are chiefs and rulers of your family members. And on the Day of Judgment, every one of you will be asked about his dependents. Your responsibility. Your responsibility. Your responsibility. Yes, your responsibility. You can fulfill your responsibility by ensuring you get a good teacher. You can fulfill your responsibility by putting them in front of Mother Channel. You can fulfill your responsibility by trying to get them to acquire the knowledge of the deen as much as possible. But it is your responsibility. Regarding the hadith where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that on the Day of Judgment, you will be asked about your dependents. Alama Mufti Muhammad Shafir Sharifu al-Haq Amjadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said that the dependents mean those that are under someone's supervision. For example, people are under the supervision of the kings and rulers, children under the parents, students under the teachers, and disciples under the spiritual guides. Similarly, it is wajib for the wife, children or servants to look after the wealth which is entrusted to them. So this is the knowledge of the deen, how important it is. So we need to feel a sense of responsibility. We need to feel that it is part of our responsibility. Our responsibility is not just providing our children with good clothes, providing our children with food, providing our children with a shelter, providing our children with protection. Our responsibility is also to provide a good upbringing for our children. We should, at a young age, get our children to offer the salah, get our children to start fasting at a young age. In some houses where children, and they're saying that this year I'm going to have a half fast. Yeah. Small children say, I'm going to have a half fast, I'm going to have a quarter fast. There's no such thing as a quarter fast or a half fast. But what is this? Them are them small children. They want to feel part of the Muslim community. They want to feel part of the family, that they can also take part in the fast. And so they feel happy in doing it. And you see those households where young children, where the parents say to them, Beta, no, you shouldn't fast tomorrow, you fasted today. And they get upset. Why do they get upset? Elders don't get upset when the month of Ramadan comes, but these children get upset when the parents stop them from fasting. Why? Because they've had inside them the in love of the month of Ramadan. It's been instilled inside them. And they're looking eagerly towards it. How eager are we looking towards the month of Ramadan? When it comes to Salah, how many of us try and get our children, young children, just to copy us or stand next to us? They don't know the Salah. They don't even know what they should be doing. But sometimes they lie on the floor. Sometimes they roll over. Sometimes they grab hold of your beard. Sometimes they climb on your back. Sometimes they pull off the sister's scalp. They do all these things. But they feel then that they are part of this. They are part of the Salah. And then after the Salah, you say to the beta, you say to the beta, come on, beta, let's put our hands up. Come on, beta, let's put our hands up. Let's do dua. Let's pray. Let's pray for the people that have passed away. Let's pray for grandma. Let's pray for granddad. Let's pray for all those people that have passed away. And get them into the habit of that young age praying. And you'll see that change inside them. It is our responsibility. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has established institutions to provide Islamic education. And Dawat Islami is there. And the whole purpose of Dawat Islami is that I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world. How? By providing them with education. By providing them with programs like this. But providing them with education institutes. We have Madrasatul Madinas here in the UK. We have over 4,000 children studying in our Madrasatul Madinas. We have Jamiatul Madinas. What is a Jamiatul Madina? Jamiatul Madina is that institute where your children can go. And after a period of time, currently 6 years for brothers and 5 years for sisters, they can acquire the knowledge of the deen and they can be classed as scholars. Now, nowadays, unfortunately, people have watered down this scholar status. And you can probably do a course over a weekend and be classed as a scholar. But our Dawat Islami is the course that Dawat Islami provides. People respect that course and the ulama ikram look towards that. And I have discussed with ulama ikram some of the subjects that are discussed, that are taught in Dars-e-Nizami. And they are shocked that, you know, you're teaching these topics. These are the topics that are not even taught in Takhassus bil Fiqh, some of these topics. And Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is teaching these. It's a complete core of education that's been taught there. So this knowledge is there. And here in the UK, Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has the Jamiatul Madinas. We have three residential jamis for the brothers. Number one is in Bradford. Number two is in Birmingham. And three, we have one in Luton. These are the residential jamis. We also have non-residential jamis and part-time jamis. These are taking place in Leicester, in Blackburn, in Rochdale, in London. And I'm sure I'll figure out. I forgot another one. Blackburn. Rochdale, Leicester and London are where our part-time jamias come. But also our sister jamias are taking place as well. Sister jamias are taking place in Bradford and also taking place in Birmingham. And inshallah, another sister jamia is going to be opening up here in the greater Manchester area, inshallah. So pray that that jamia opens up. But these are the opportunities that are being availed to you. At the same time, Dawat Islami also provides the worldly education in the forms of our Darul Madina schools, which are currently in Blackburn, Rotherham, Slough and London. And inshallah, azawajal, this year there'll be other ones that are opening up as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is narrated that once Khalifa Harun Rashid invited Abu Muawiyah Aziz Ramatullahi ta'ala, who was blind. When a loter for washing hands and the pot from which hands and mouth are washed were brought at the time of hunger meal, Khalifa Harun Rashid gave the pot to the servant and washed the hands of Abu Muawiyah Aziz Ramatullahi ta'ala himself. And after taking the lota in his hand and said, "Do you know who's pouring water onto your hands?" And he replied, "No." The king humbly said, "Harun, so make dua for him." Abu Muawiyah Ramatullahi ta'ala said, "May Allah Azza wa Jalla respect you the way you have respected knowledge." Harun Rashid said, "I did all this in order to obtain this dua." Allahu Akbar. So the king is washing the hands of these scholars. Why? So they can get the du'as of the scholars. Similar has been narrated about Sayyidina Qazi Abu Yusuf Yaqub bin Ibrahim Ramatullahi ta'ala, that he became an orphan in his childhood. His mother made him work with a washerman so that she could run the home. Once he went to the gathering of Imam Azam Ramatullahi ta'ala and liked so much the things that were being mentioned in the gatherings that he started sitting in those gatherings instead of working in the washer place. When a mother knew this, she took him to the washerman. When the matter got further severe, his mother said to Imam Azam Ramatullah that there is no one to bring this child up. I send him to the washerman so that he can earn something. But you have spoilt him. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Imam Azam Ramatullah said, "Oh, the fortunate one, let him gain knowledge. The day is not far when he will be eating the halwa of almonds and pure ghee and nice faluda. Having heard this, the mother of Imam Abu Yusuf got very displeased and said, "Are you making fun of us? How can poor people like us eat the halwa of almonds and pure ghee?" Allahu Akbar. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi ta'ala, he continued to gain the Islamic knowledge. It was steadfast. And the time came when the post of Qazi, Chief Justice, was handed to him. And once the Khalifa invited him, and during the feast, the Khalifa said, putting forward the halwa of almonds and pure ghee and nice faluda, he said, "Oh Imam, eat this halwa. It is not easy for us to get such halwa preferred every day." Having heard this, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi ta'ala recalled the words of his teacher, and he started smiling. When the Khalifa asked him, he replied, "My respected teacher, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala said to my mother many years ago that this son of yours will eat halwa of almonds and pure ghee and faluda. Today the statement of my respected teacher has come true." He then related the whole event of his childhood to the Khalifa, who saw he became very pleased and surprised. And he said that undoubtedly, knowledge definitely benefits and makes a person attain great status in this world and the hereafter. Viewers of Mother Channel, ultimately we are all going to die. And it's inevitable. And if it happens as a result of the current situation, then it is the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If it happens in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, it is the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person dies, all of his deeds are discontinued except for three deeds. Number one, sadqa jariyah, permanent source of divine reward. Number two, the knowledge from which benefit is obtained. And three, righteous children who make dua for him. Allahu Akbar. We need to make a habit of acquiring this knowledge and try and getting our children to acquire this knowledge. But you know, when our children go and we can convince our children to acquire this knowledge, then they need our support as well. Because when you put a child into the jamia, when you put a child in these places where they're acquiring the knowledge of the deen, they need your support because they're having so many shaitanic whispers on them. It is not easy. Shaitan is not happy for that child to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And so for that child to acquire the knowledge of the deen, it involves a lot of hard work. It involves a lot of struggle, and that support, it needs to be there. That support network needs to be given there as well. So that is the first problem, that if we do put our children on that path, then we need to support them. Give them all the support that they can get. Put them in touch with other people that have gone down that similar route so that they can discuss with them the problems that they're facing. The second hurdle that our students face is that society nowadays does not give rank, does not give status to people acquiring the knowledge of the deen. If you're going to a Jamiatul Madina and you're on a 6-year course to become a scholar, people say to you, "Oh, so when you finish, you'll be able to teach Alif Ba, will you, to the kids, you'll be able to teach Qaida to the kids, will you, mashallah. Is that what you're studying to be?" And they don't realize the status of this. They don't realize this. You know, and people will say to them, students, "Well, why don't you become a doctor? Why don't you become a lawyer?" And all these shaitanic whispers will come to them. And someone, I remember reading that, so someone once, a scholar, he put his son on the path of deen. And one day his son was sitting with his friends, his childhood friends, and they were asking each other what they were doing. And one of them said, "You know, I'm in the medical profession." And the other one said, "I'm in this profession and I'm in that profession." And he said, "I'm acquiring the knowledge of the deen." And he felt lower. His own nafs felt that, you know, I'm not as good as these people. Yeah, which was wrong, but that's what he felt. And he went home to his father and he said, "Father, tell me, why did you not put me on that path? The path of being a doctor, the path of being this, so that people would respect me and give me the great status and people would look up to me." And his father said to him, "My son, wallahi, if I knew that by making you a road sweeper would bring you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, I would make you a road sweeper." Allahu Akbar. His father, his whole purpose was to bring his son closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so this is what we need to realize, that person that is on the path of the knowledge of the deen, they're getting closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. They're acquiring that sacred knowledge, that knowledge that's been passed down through generations and generations. That golden chain of knowledge has been passed down. Huh? And so we need to support them and help those people that are acquiring the knowledge of the deen. Spend on them, spend your sadaqah on them. And the other thing that becomes a problem is that unfortunately in today's society, we don't value the status of them, of the scholars, but not only that, we don't support them financially. You know, we think that imam should be able to manage on very little. Yeah. Does he not have a family? Does he not have kids? Does he not have bills to pay as well? You know, do you expect him just to pick up a tasbih and do zikr and think that all his bills are going to get paid? No, it doesn't happen like that. So we need to change our culture as well and financially support our scholars. Pay them good salaries, pay them good wages, because them are the people that you go to when your child is born. Them are the people that you go to when your family passes away. Them are the people that you go to when you're ill and when you're sick. Them are the people that you go to when you need the du'as. So we need to financially support them and we need to change that. And alhamdulillah, I've seen here in the UK and around the world, Dawat Islami is trying its utmost best to make the salaries of scholars a good salary. So that the scholars that wish for it, they have a good salary. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madin Channel, this is just, we've talked very briefly today about the importance of acquiring the knowledge of the deen. But also, during this lockdown period that we're all seeing here and all around the world, you should also use this time to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And why we chose this topic today was so that we can understand the importance of it. We can understand the status of that person that acquires the knowledge of the deen. So that during these times, rather than watching dramas and thinking, oh, I can watch 20 serials of this drama in this lockdown period and utilizing that time, you know, utilize that time to acquire the knowledge of the deen. Utilize that time to watch Madani Channel. Utilize that time to download books and read them books. Read them books that have been on your bookshelves. Many people buy books because they look nice and they look nice on the bookshelves, but have you read them? Read them Islamic books. Read the books of deen. You won't have to spend a penny. If you've got a PC tablet or a phone, go to www.dawatislami.net. Hundreds of books there to download free. In 37 different languages, books are available to download. Download those books, read them, pass them on. Alhamdulillah, here in the UK, Dawat Islami, all of our Facebook pages are doing something every day. There's Fajr Halkas, Daras, Madani Qaida, Wazaif, you know, Sirat, books are being taught. Utilize this time. Get yourself attached to Dawat Islami and acquire the knowledge of the deen. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah give me first and foremost the ability to have that thirst of the knowledge. That thirst of the knowledge that you need to have. If you have that thirst of water, you'll drink it. If you have that thirst that you want something to eat specifically, you'll go for it. If you have that thirst of the knowledge, then you'll go for that knowledge. And I pray that I have that thirst, and I pray that all of you have that thirst. And I pray that we acquire the correct knowledge of the deen. And not only do we acquire the correct knowledge of the deen, but we pass that knowledge on to others as well. Maybe, viewers of Madani Channel, the people that are watching today, you may think, well, you know, a lot of people have a lot of basic knowledge, yeah? But you'd be surprised that the knowledge that you believe you have, very few people have it. You know, alhamdulillah, within the environment of Dawat Islami, we travel on the Madri Kaflas, we travel from town to town, city to city, and country to country. And we've met so many people that unfortunately do not even know the faraiz of ghusl, do not have to pray the namaz properly, do not have to perform the wuzu properly. Yes, imams have taught them 40 years ago, but they forgot because they've not checked themselves. So please acquire this faraiz knowledge. Not only acquire this faraiz knowledge, pass this knowledge on to others as well. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that give me and you the ability to think about what I have said and to pass this message on to others as well. Ameen, bijahin Nabi Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. May you keep ascending success, say success.